trustworthiness of someone or something. Belief and trust in God, the scriptures, or other religious writings, a system of religious beliefs. Now, the Strong's in almost every one of the places that the word faith is found, it says it's a persuasion, a conviction of the truthfulness of God, reliance upon Christ for salvation, constancy in such profession, assurance, belief, and fidelity. Now, first let's do our scriptures. Mark 9:23. We'll let Zach put them up. We won't turn there. It says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believeth what? Well, whatever it is you're believing for. Number one, you have faith in God. And number two, you're believing God to help you, strengthen you, provide for you financially, you know, whatever the case may be. If you can believe it, you can have it. But if you can't, you won't. See, sometimes we get the idea that because somebody has a need, then God meets that need, and that's not so. Jesus told them whenever they was concerned about the poor and all that, you know, when he was watching them in the alms and all that, he said, you're going to have the poor with you always. There's always going to be somebody less fortunate or poor. Why? Because God wants it that way? No. We all have the same opportunity. We all can have the same Lord, right? We all can serve the same God if we choose to. Therefore, everything that is possible to everybody else can be possible to us, but we have to believe it, right? So he says, all things are possible to those who believe. Do our Philippians 4. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And this is a big one. This covers, the word all there means all. It covers every area of my life. If God tells me in his word to do it, then guess what? I can. I might not feel like I can. I might not look like I can. People might tell me I can't. But if it's the will of God, then I can, right? But he says, through Christ, which is the anointed one, and his anointing, which strengtheneth me. So, I got a lot of scriptures here. Let's look at Mark 11. Go ahead and turn there because I'm going to read that from the Amplified too. Verse 22, and we'll later on we'll go back to the top. It says, and Jesus saying unto them, have faith in God. Now what had happened? He had cursed the fig tree about 24 hours before or so. Nothing. They didn't see anything happen. They come across it the next morning. I believe it was Peter pointed out, says, Master, the fig tree you cursed, they see it dried up from the root. He says, have faith in God. The Amplified Bible says it this way. Verse 22, he says, and Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God, he says, constantly. A lot of people today that are born again, they think faith is just something we're supposed to have when we're believing God for a car payment. Or we're believing God for a situation to turn out or whatever. But the definition of faith that I read to you a while ago, it says believe in Christ for salvation. How many knows we need to believe that from the beginning to the end? The Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith. So I need to be pleasing God every day, all day, 24 hours a day. So what's that mean? It means I need to be in faith all the time. How do I be in faith all the time? Relying on him for whatever it is. I need to rely on him to change me, to help me change, to help me be everything he's called me to be, to do everything he's called me to do, right? To recognize the right hookups that God puts me with in relationships or ministry or whatever the case may be. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I walk and I live by faith. Now the problem with that is, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you've got flesh that you have real emotions and you have a real devil that is trying 24/7 to inject thoughts into our minds. And the Bible tells us over there, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, what do we do with that? Thank you, Johnny. Any rest of y'all been to school or y'all still asleep? What happens if you don't cast them down? What happens when they grow? See, that tree out here that is, bigger around than this pulpit is, wide. Guess how big that tree was when it started? It was a little acre. What happened to it? So somehow or another, somebody or a squirrel planted the little acorn or something or another, and it grew. It was allowed to stay, right? So we can't let things in our mind that are not supposed to be there, that the Bible says are contrary to the Word of God or the knowledge that we have of God and His Word. We must cast them down. So he says there, have faith in God, he says, constantly. Now, you can put it Romans 10:17. We won't turn there and read it. And I'm just going to do this little part of it here. I'm trying to do all this for time's sake. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I should have turned over there, because I want to read that in the Amplified. I don't know about y'all. I don't understand a lot of, Elizabethan English and King James. I don't talk like that. So a lot of time when I do my reading, or most of the time, I guess, I read in the Amplified Bible. It helps me understand it better and break it down. But here in verse 17 of the Amplified, it says, so faith comes by hearing what is told. That could be somebody reading the scripture. That could be somebody giving a testimony of what Jesus has did in their life. Anything like that. It says, so faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ. So faith comes by hearing. Somehow or another, if you've been born again, somehow or another you heard the gospel in some form or fashion. Like for Scotty, it was one or two of his brothers that had told him before, you know, God loves you and he'll help you. You know, well, he just blowed that off until he come to the point, he got to the end of himself, and he cried out and he said, Lord, if you're really real like they say you are, then help me. See, some people, they don't think you can be born again without them leading you in Elizabethan King James prayer. That's not so. The Apostle Paul never said none of that. All he said was, who are you, Lord? And bam. Well, what did he do? He recognized the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And he asked, who are you, Lord? That's the shortest salvation prayer I have ever read in the Bible. So see, it's not by necessarily the words that comes out of my mouth, but the state of my heart. Just like Scotty, you know, some would think, you know, that, well, that's not faith. You know, if he says, if you're really real like they say you are, well, that is faith. He heard what they said, that God's good and God loves you and God will help you. So therefore, in his time of need, the Holy Spirit brought that back up and he believes what they're saying. But now does he know for himself by experience that God's like that? No, he ain't ever experienced him yet. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. So we hear at this church, we hear a lot about faith. A lot about faith. But how many knows it's not necessarily just what you hear? That's right. I'm thinking, where is Hebrews? Hebrews 11, 1. He says, now faith is the substance. Listen, there's a lot of people, they act like faith is something weird. How many knows faith is not weird at all? Why? Because God is not weird, and faith comes from God and God's word. Right? Everything was created by it. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. This word hope is not what a lot of us say today. Well, I hope God does, or I hope they do. A lot of times that's nothing more than you're actually wishing, right? That's not what this is saying. This word hope here, or hope for, it's a confident expectation. It is a knowing. He says, so faith is the substance of the things we confidently expect, right? He says, faith is the evidence of the things we cannot see. So therefore, the Word of God tells me that the day I got born again, the love of God was shed abroad or poured out in my heart. I must believe that. Why should I believe that? Well, if I have faith, if I have the Word and I have faith, it's the substance of things I hope for, but I can't see it. I don't feel lovely. I don't sound lovely. I don't look lovely. But according to the Word, that love is in there. So by faith, then I believe God to help me, strengthen me, and when every situation arises, to walk by love. Right? He says there, the thing's not seen. He says, let me read that in Amplified. He says, now faith is the assurance the confirmation, the title deed. You can actually go online right now and buy a vehicle in another country and never even see it. You can do that on, I know somebody that they was bidding on a car or something other that was on one of them sites, and they didn't know it, but the whole other side of the car was caved in. But they were showing the side that was not caved in. But you can actually buy a vehicle or a motorcycle, anything like that, online, and you never have to see it, and let them mail you your title or whatever. Well, how do you know you have it? How do you know it's yours? Because you have the title deed to it, right? I don't have to see it. Why? I'm looking at the title. I don't have to see it in the natural. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I don't feel like it. I don't sound like it. I don't look like it. Other people are telling me I'm not. Oh, don't give me that face stuff. Tell me how you really feel. I can't stand that. You know, my hair was messed up. I've had a lot of things happen in the last few years. I mean, I got that stupid plantar fasciitis junk. And you know what the Lord told me about that? What the problem was? I know y'all ain't going to hear the same thing. You're so fat, it's bothering your feet. And I'm like, well, Lord, these people, they're 600 pounds, and I look at them, and they're wearing flip-flops. Is that supposed to matter to me? No. Just for some reason or another, I can't be over a certain amount of weight, or it starts bothering my feet. I'm telling you right now, I told y'all I lost 34 pounds. I lost that weight. I have not had one. I'm not having to wear them insoles in my shoes. I've not had one problem with that plantar fasciitis. Well, because God told me that, I thought, well, I got to do something here because I'm just getting bigger and bigger, and I'm having all these problems. Now, am I saying that everybody has problems with their feet or plantar fasciitis problems, that it's because you're fat? No, I'm not saying that, but check yourself out. Maybe you are. I don't know, you know. But see, I heard that. Faith come from me hearing that, and then faith has action. So then now if I want something to change, I've got to do something about it. So the title deed to me was the word that I heard. The word can come in many different forms, right? Now, he says here, it's the title deed of the things we hope for or confidently expect. He said it's being the proof of things we do not see. This is sometimes one of the biggest things for us to get past when we're believing God. It says, and the conviction of their reality. When you really have faith in your heart, it's real to you. That's it. It don't matter what it looks like, feels like, bank says, nothing else. It's real to you. It says, faith perceiving is real fact what is not revealed to the senses. The five physical senses is flesh. And faith never reveals anything to them. Usually real faith is contrary to everything that's to the senses. He goes on and he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, some people says that God made everything out of nothing. That's not what that says. It says he made everything what? By the word. By the word of God that was on the inside of him. And how many knows God has faith? Therefore, whenever God speaks, bam, things happen, right? But you couldn't see it. But now we do. He goes on and he says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, stop here for a second. I've heard a lot of people talk about this and teach on this and what the offering was and blah, blah. That's not the point. The point of it is here, it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So then that tells me the word of the Lord somehow on the inside of them came to them for them to know what to do. Because one did it and one didn't. Right? So by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice. It says, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Now why was he translated? Listen here. He says, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. So this guy pleased God so much, according to the testimony that was born to him, God just took him. It's like him and God was in a conversation, and God says, why don't you just come on up here? But the Bible says he did that by faith. Right? Faith, knowing something on the inside, perceiving something as reality. Verse 6, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, in our circles, a lot, this is a, you might as well cuss somebody out to tell them they don't have faith. They'll get fighting mad, and you can see it and you can hear it. Listen, whenever we was about to lose our house and our cars and everything else that we had, you know, I mean, y'all have heard the story and heard it. I'm not going through all that story. But, I mean, we got a letter. I mean, we're so far behind on our house. They're fixing to do what's called accelerated foreclosure, where they speed up the process and all this other stuff. And, you know, we're about 3 months behind on all our vehicles. We owe on everything we have just about. And we had given our land and our trailer away to for Scotty's mama to live in, and had actually told his sister she could have it after his mom passes, for living with her and taking care of her, you know, and all. So I have nowhere else to go. I have no other option. I have nothing. And I have a 16-year-old kid. And no money, no nothing. So I know that it's the will of God that we be there. But now here comes the pipe. Every letter I'm getting, every feeling I have, everything is totally contrary. The devil is telling me, you're never going to live here. You're going to be out on the street. This is going to happen to you. Where are you going to get the money for this? All of this stuff is going on. But not one time did it ever come out of my mouth. Not once. I'm going to lose this place. Scotty, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? We're about to be out of here in 3 weeks. Not one. Why? Because faith doesn't do that. If you're doing that, you're deceiving yourself to think you're in faith to begin with. Why? Faith does not talk contrary to the promise of God, ever. You might say, well, I'm just calling it like it is. Do you understand? Faith don't call things like it is. Faith calls things like they're not. And if something is really real to you, you won't say anything different. Why? Because you have the title deed of it. I mean, I could buy a car and Scotty say, where's your car? And I show him my piece of paper, my deed here, and he says, well, I see that, but where's your car? Well, it's right here. Well, where's the car? It's right here. I see the car. Can't you see this title says it's red? Right? It's V8, right? Can't you see it? Well, read it. Yeah, but where's the car? Right here. Are y'all getting this? I'm telling you, the Bible says it's the small foxes that spoils the vine. It's usually not this great big stuff. The Bible said if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. See, a lot of times we think it takes great big years of exercising faith. No, it don't. All it took for you to be born again, to go from death to life, was a grain of mustard seed faith that you acted on. That's all. So if we see somewhere that we're not in it, that's not a shameful thing. And if somebody calls you on your stuff, that's not a shameful thing. They're trying to help you. Why? Because we love you, you love everybody, and we want everybody to receive the promises, right, of whatever that the case is. And if I'm having a problem and I don't see it, I need somebody to help me, and I should not be so prideful that I won't change. Because if I don't, then I'm not going to get it. That would be extra charge for that. But he says here that he not pleased God so much, God just took him. And he says, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. A lot of people act like they're going to church is going to please God. Well, not if you don't go in faith. You just went, you know, for whatever reason, to mark it off your calendar, you did your religious duty or something like that. Everything I do. See, that we've been talking about that. If you can do something in faith and it glorify God, then do it. If you can't do something in faith and it doesn't glorify God, then I don't need to be doing it. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of what the world tells me, I mean, now today the world, there's no reason to get married anymore. Are you kidding me? We're married in the eyes of the law. We're married in the eyes of God. Well, what scripture did you use that on? First imaginations, because I don't find it. I mean, seriously. The Bible says that it is a covenant between a man and a woman. How many knows a covenant? You make a contract. And things have so changed now, you don't even need a preacher to marry you anymore. Just sign your name on the dotted line. Why? because they come up with all that now, ministers got to marry gay people, and a lot of them won't do it anymore. Why? Is that my opinion? No, absolutely not. I get my opinions from the Word. I don't get them from myself. Which leads me to our next verse. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. Now, we have read this one, but we're going to read it again. Now, see, before you got born again, you could do what you wanted to. Everything you wanted to do wasn't good. If you was anything like me, rarely did I ever want to do anything that was good for me. Ever. Rarely did I do anything that was good for me to do. But once I get born again, all of that changes. Here in 1 Corinthians 6, and for time's sake, because we've already read this several times, we're going to start in verse 19. He says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? If I own something, Johnny just can't come along and do whatever he wants to with it, because now that's not going to be good. If Johnny owns something, or Sandy owns something, I can't just come along and do whatever I want to with it, right? No, why? It belongs to them. He says here, I'm not my own. What's that mean? I can't do whatever I want to do. Now, Paul says, I'm free to do it, but it's not going to be good for me. It's not the will of God for me. I'm not supposed to be doing it, right? He says, I can make the choice. I'm free to do anything I want to do. He says, but all things are not expedient for me. All things are not good for me to do. And I will suffer consequences, good or bad, for my choices. So therefore, I'm not allowed to think. Here we go. I'm not allowed to think what I want to think. Y'all not saying nothing. See, when you get into Christianity today, this stuff right here is called legalism. I mean, this is not legalism. Not according to New Testament scripture. If I'm bought with a price and I'm not my own, then that tells me I'm supposed to think like he tells me to think. Right? And he tells me if you'll think in line with my word, your life will be transformed. Right? Romans 12:2. But if I don't, my life will stay the same and to a point even maybe get worse. So therefore, I'm not allowed to my own opinion. Ooh. Y'all hear that today? You tell somebody a scripture. Well, I know you believe that, but, you know, you got to live your truth. My truth is this. There's only one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says the Word was with God, was Jesus himself. He only became Jesus because we needed him to hear. He's the Word. In Revelation, he's the Word again, right? And the Bible says he is the truth. Jesus said, God, your word is truth. So, I mean, that's the only real truth there is. There may be facts. There may be reality. There may be people's opinions. You know, a lot of times when you say something about, lesbians or gays or something like that, whatever it is, and listen to me, we love the people. God loves the people. God is not against those people that do those kinds of things or believe that kind of way. Absolutely not. God loves everybody, all of us. It don't matter what your sin is, and it was something. God loves everybody. But does he like everybody's stuff? No. Is he going to allow those that come to him stay the same? No. You know, people say, well, the song says, you know, Jesus said, come as you are. Yes, he did. He accepts everybody just as you are, as you come to him with a humble, repentant heart, but he does not allow any of us to stay the same. He requires change out of all of us. And that change, even though it don't feel good, it don't look good, sometimes it don't even seem like the right direction to be going, will ultimately bring us to God's good that he has for us. So therefore, I can't have my own opinion on politics. That's like I told y'all, you know, whenever Trump was running for office, I don't like him as far as his personality. I mean, when you call women pigs, that kind of bothers me. I am one, you know. Oh, y'all, y'all don't want to hear this. Did y'all feel that? Real. Okay, well, we're just going to go there then, since that's the way y'all want to play it. See, I don't like him. I don't like the way he wears his hair. I know he didn't ask me. I'm just telling you what I think about things. Nobody asked me. I don't like the way he wears his hair. Why don't you just part it over there? Why you gotta put that spray on it and smash it down over here? I don't like the way he talks. Y'all not saying nothing. But I voted for him, and I'll tell you why. I like his policies. I like the policies of the party that he was running with. They are the ones. Now, did I like all of them? Absolutely not. Agree with all, not everything. But they was the ones that was the most what I can, in my own convictions, based on the word of God, go for. The other ones, I could not. Now, see, you got a lot of people, they did not vote for him. Say they're a Christian. Voted for another party because of everything that I just told you I don't like about him. Is that what we're supposed to be voting on, personality? The way somebody wears their hair? But see, I have my opinion. But see, that's not what God says. I'm not allowed. If I'm going to be pleasing to the Lord and walk in his ways, I'm not allowed my own opinion. My opinion is based on his word, which becomes now my same opinion as his opinion. My thoughts come from his thoughts. The way I think about things, right, are supposed to be coming from his thoughts. His thoughts are all in this book, right? He tells us, he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. He says, mine are much higher. But he didn't say, leave it there. We can come on up here. We can put on the mind of Christ, the Bible says. But most Christians, we don't want to hear this stuff. Right? I want to do what I want to do, and I want God to bless it. How many knows that's not going to happen? That's just not going to happen. Why? God's not my genie in the bottle. God's not here to just make my life better. God owns me. Ain't that what we just read? Let's finish that verse 20, I think, there. He says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, he says, which are God's. So I don't even own this physical flesh here. It's kind of like my car out there, my truck out there. It's got to close your ears up. We don't want you hearing this. That's my truck. I say what happens to it. But when I get pulled over and they run my tag, guess who they say owns it? Scotty Weston. Quit smiling. That's kind of the way it is. I live in this body. I'm responsible for this body. But according to God, I don't own this body. And see, some people think in later when we get to heaven and all that, we're going to get a new body. That's not actually true. The Bible says we get a glorified this body. Why? This body can't take the presence of God without the glory of it. So, need to live a long, satisfied life and take care of this body, right? All right, so he says there, we're not our own and all that. So therefore, I can't just do whatever I choose to do. If I'm going to be in line with Scripture and pleasing to God and all of this stuff. First Peter 1. Y'all should be very familiar with these scriptures if you've been reading your chapters, because we just finished it, right? That's a good thing about reading our chapters together. We all just got through reading this same page right here. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1, now we read over there what faith is. I give you a few definitions of it. We read what faith is in Hebrews 11:1 there. And you have faith. The Word gives you faith. You get born again. The Bible says he's given to every man the measure of faith. And then how many knows what you hear, faith builds. The Bible says we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Faith builds, revelation builds, and all that. Now notice here in verse 3, just for time's sake, I'm going to start. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. How? Might tell you some reason some people's not being kept. Y'all not saying that. He says, I'm kept by the power of God through my faith and confidence constantly in him. In other words, he says, unto salvation, he says, ready to be revealed in the last time. wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Notice that, a season. What's that mean? We're in fall right now, and winter's coming. But after winter, spring's coming. Woo, and summer around the corner, right? He says, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. Now get this, what is the temptations there to do? Try your faith. You're not in it because you don't have it. You're in it because you do have it. He says that the trial of your faith being much more, notice this, this is precious to God. There's nothing more precious to him than this from his children. He says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with what? Woo! We just said a mouthful. Y'all ever been, felt like before you're on the hot plate? Your life is just out of control and it is burning up, seems like. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It don't feel good. It don't look good. It don't sound good. See, you're not growing when things are good. Those are times of resting that you better be prepared unhindered. Why? Because the trial of your faith is coming. Whenever we sit in here and we hear a word that comes to us and faith comes from that word and you go out that door, guess what's coming? Of your faith. Every time, y'all heard Monty's testimony, every time Monty heard the word about having faith for of God in finances, and he went out the door, what happened, Monty? he don't even want to say it. We'll say it for you. It's pain in you. A trial of finances is coming. Why? Because when you hear the word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But listen, the devil can't let that word stay in there. He can't let that faith stay in there. What is it over there at, I'm thinking now, what is it, Mark 4, that talks about how the sower sows the word? Is that where it's at, Mark 4? Mark 4, Luke 4, somewhere around, I think Mark 4. But anyway, it says the sower sows the word. He says, and those that are by the wayside, where the word is sown, they don't even pick it up and do nothing with it. Their hearts are so messed up, that seed can't even find no kind of soil to get in. Then he goes on, you know, and says later on, you know, those hear the word, receive it with gladness, you know, and all of that. He says, but, what's it say? Y'all remember? He says, but when the word, because of the word, the trial comes. Let's turn over there. Let's just read it. Hold your place here if you can. I think it's Mark 4. Let's look at it. Let me read it right quick. I didn't write it down. You came to me this morning, but I didn't write it down. See the exact verse I'm thinking about. There it is. Verse 17. 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word. Now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, right? But it's not just about the word. What is the ground of your heart? He says, having heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Woo, that was a good message. And have no root in themselves. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and I abide in you, and my word, I mean, you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done for you and my Father. That's about John 14, 15, I think, somewhere around in there, right? So he says, but have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Notice, afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for what? The word's sake. The word is the reason it's coming. He says, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. The word offended means they stumble. They fall away or whatever. I mean, you see that all the time. People come to God, their lives are in a mess. They start walking with God. They start hearing the word of God. Listen, it's okay when I get born again if I need a miracle every day or week to make it. But if I've been born again 2 or 3 years, I should not still be needing a miracle, God to do a miracle in my life every 2 or 3 days. Why? Because I walk and I live by faith and we grow and we develop to the point. I don't need a miracle every other day, right? I've been believing God all this time, and God is changing me, and God is removing things in my life and changing things in my life. But then whenever we come and we hear the word, we go out, things happen or whatever, and because of the word, why? Because he knows, you go on down and you read that, he says, some brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, the word didn't determine how much fruit they brought forth. My heart and what I do with that word determines how much 30, 60, or 100-fold that I can bring forth of that word. So then when you see them, they come in, their life gets better and all this other stuff, and then you begin to see them, they don't serve God like they used to. Why? Something's coming. A trial, a test, a temptation. Well, we thought you believed the word. Oh, I do. Well, that ain't what I just got through hearing you say out your mouth. Right? That's not what you just told so-and-so out in the parking lot. That's not what your life is describing to us right now. Not that you're necessarily perfect in the flesh, 100% doing everything all the time. Scotty come across a guy the other day that he had Jesus symbol, you know, a little fish thing symbol, whatever you call it, and all that, you know, and I think Scotty was saying something to him, but he liked it, blah, blah, blah. Just normal conversation while he's doing garage doors or whatever, you know. And then he asked the guy, he said, well, where do you go to church at? He said, I don't. Do you know you can ask most sinners about going to church and they believe Christians are supposed to go to church? The majority of them. Now, you'll have some every now and then. But how come sinners believe that Christians should be going to church a lot of times more than most Christians believe? Oh, y'all not saying nothing. See, the word comes, it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Guess who's your neighbor this morning? Samantha is your neighbor, Johnny. Beth is your neighbor, Travis. Maybe you should turn around and scoot a little closer. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, guess what happens? They didn't shake my hand. And I saw them, and I waved at them from across the room, and they just, like, stared a hole right through me. I'm not going to that church no more. What? What? I thought God sent you there. See what I'm saying? How when we don't make the connection, see, the word came, I believe, based on the word of what I got in my heart, a written word, that I'm supposed to be here. So if that means I'm supposed to be here and that word is in there and it's living, you better believe the devil's going to do everything he can. Why? To get that word out of my heart. Why? So I get out of the will of God and I bring forth no fruit. Not that I can't be a Christian somewhere else, and not that God's not going to love me if I go somewhere else, or even bless me if I go somewhere else. Now, I don't believe that you will ever do as good and receive as much of the fullness that God has for you out of his will as what you will in his will, right? But that's what it's coming for. You hear people, y'all see them. They'll come to this church, and I'm not trying to talk about nobody. I mean, I have seen this and learned this stuff over years. You know, I've been a pastor's wife for over 20 years now. You see a lot of stuff. You hear people come in the church. They start coming here. Been here 3 or 4 times or whatever. You know, woo, I just love this little church. And I'm telling you, y'all are my family. I love y'all so much. Every time I hear that on the inside, I'm like, oh, I like them too, God. Well, I know what's coming. I know what's coming. See, you're not going to stand up in front of God and everybody and the devil and say, I believe God sent me here to this church. I love this little church. I love all y'all. Y'all my brothers and sisters. We'll see. Can y'all tell me what y'all see? I'm not talking about nobody. I'm talking about in general. You understand me? How many? If you've been here for 3 years, how many can you count? See, it ain't gonna go well with Scotty. He can tell me all day, Teresa, I love you. I love you, baby. You are sweet as pie. I love you. I love you. I love you. But if I don't see him that night and he comes home the next morning, you better believe his clothes is already on the porch because you a lie and I ain't going for it. You don't love me. You might love how I make you feel. You might love what I can do for you, but you don't love me. Why? Love has commitment. It's not a feeling. I've been married 37 years. Been raised by my husband. He might as well, so to speak. That's your fault. I am the way I am, the way you made me. Anyway, to get, well, I've been married to him since I was 14. I turned 14 in April, and I married him in August. So I've been married for 37 years. I'm 51 years old now. You should like the way I am. I should be by now just the way you wanted me all this time. But anyway, I've been married for 37 years. I cannot tell you in that 37 years how many times I have left that man. I can't tell you in 37 years how many times that I felt like I can't take him no more. I can't tell you in 37 years how many times I thought I hate his stinking guts. Now, y'all not saying that. Maybe y'all's flesh don't get as far as mine. I don't know. See, we got Christians, they divorce because he spit toothpaste on the mirror. We got Christians because he left the seat up and he forgets to put it down. And I'm tired of that, and I can't take that no more. They're divorced. Y'all think I'm kidding? I'm not. Had Christians want to counsel because they want, one of them wants us to tell the other one, have sex with that one. You know what I would have told him? I said, listen, I said, go home and read this 1 Corinthians 13 right here. I said, for 3 weeks and then come back. I said, and every time you read it, think about how you can do that to the other one. Because if I really love you, I don't want you doing something like that with me if you don't want to. I mean, what kind of stupid are you? You're just selfish. All you want is what you want. There's not a bit of love in that. Right? Ooh, where are we going today? Listen, I'm just the wingman. Jesus is the pilot. I'm just the wingman, whatever he wants, whatever he says. But I mean, really, we have Christians that the day they got married before God, they made a covenant with the person and a covenant with God, and now because things are not the way I wanted them to be, feelings have changed. I don't love you no more. Can I love you? Do you realize there is arranged marriages that they love each other? They might have not have started out in love. Might have not ever even met each other. And we don't do that here in this country usually, but I mean other countries, they still do some of that. And you know what? They grow and they develop to love one another. Why? They made a commitment. Love is a commitment. God didn't say, I'm going to love Teresa as long as she does everything I want her to do. He always loves me. Now, does he part my hair and crease my britches? Sure he does. Why? Because he loves me. But you got Christians today, I love you with the love of the Lord. You're my family. You're my brother. How many knows you don't do certain things to your brothers and your sisters? If you really love me, then you care about me. You want to know where I am. You want to know what's happening with me. Do you understand one of the reasons why, if you're on this praise team, you're supposed to be letting Travis know if you're not going to be here? Number one, to hold you accountable. And number two, for us to know what's going on in your life. Well, I just don't think you should be doing it. Well, you better read the scripture then. The Bible says give up double honor to those who watch over your souls and don't make it a hardship for them to do it. See, I backslid one time, and Brother Brad thought we was out ministering, thought, you know, Scotty's an evangelist, he thought we was out preaching somewhere or whatever, and I was going with him, I guess, at the time. So nobody ever called. And we're in trouble, and we need help, but there's nobody there in our life giving it. And whenever you call and you give some kind of stupid answer, you're going to get dealt with. What I mean by that, if Scotty has a headache, I don't have to stay home and take care of him. Scotty's a big boy. He's up to a 33, but he won't go there. So he's not real tall, but he's a big guy. He take care of himself. I've seen him cut the end of his finger, nearly half of the end of his finger off. Don't, he'll cry. Nothing. He puts some tape on it and goes on. So if he's got a headache, I don't have to stay home with him. Y'all know how many times I've heard that. I'm laying in the hospital in labor, have our baby, and guess where he is? He's here preaching. I'm alone by myself. So when you call with some stupidness, y'all not saying nothing. Do you understand? It's for your benefit and it's for our benefit because if something's wrong, we need to be praying for you. We need to have words of encouragement. We need to be able to move you back into the right direction. The Bible says if you see a brother or sister overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, right? How can I do that if I can't even bring up where you got a problem? I can't. So therefore, can't bring it up. And, oh, and don't say this. You're judging me. No, I'm not. You realize I can tell you you're wrong about something, or you can tell me I'm wrong about something, and it don't mean I'm judging you. To judge you means I cast a sentence on you. But see, a lot of churches, I don't want to hear this today. Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going on. We don't need nobody else. We don't need to be concerned about anybody else. I love you. You love me. We get to do what we want to, and I got to stop. Oh, gosh, we didn't get nowhere near what I wanted to. But all of that has to stop. Why? Because once you enlist, you go try that in the Army. You try that when you get up there at the National Guard, Zach. You're just going to do what you want to do. You're going to come when you want to. You're going to go when you want to. He's shaking his head no. He ain't even got there yet. I mean, he has. Y'all know what I'm saying. He ain't full yet. And he's already shaking his head like this. How come we don't know that in the church? Now I got to stop. Does anybody have anything quickly before to share or say or comment or anything before we close? All right, we're recessed till 11.